In the Madison Police Department podcast, we promote safety by providing information on current crime trends in the capital city. In addition, we give listeners a behind-the-badge look at community-based, problem-solving policing done the Madison way. You will hear from passionate MPD subject matter experts, people we like to call guardians. These men and women are dedicated to keeping Madison a great place to live, learn, and play.
Well, hello, everyone. You have found your way to the Madison Police Department podcast. I'm Public Information Officer Joel Despain, and seated across from me, properly social distanced, is Acting Chief Vic Wall. And today we are going to take up what is going to be a very hot topic for us, the City Council, and perhaps for the safety of the city, frankly. Are you ready to talk a little budget stuff here, Chief?
Always ready, Joel.
Well, first off, let's give the listeners a sense as to what's in front of you in terms of what the mayor is asking for from each department.
So every year during the budget process, early in the year, every agency gets some guidance from the mayor on what sort of proposal or budget request we are able to submit to her for the process. And this year, when those instructions went out, we were in the midst of, as we still are, the COVID-19 pandemic. And clearly the pandemic has had a huge impact on the city budget, just like it has on every sort of municipal budget at the state, county, local level across the country. Tax revenues are down, other revenues are down. So it's a challenging environment. And so our instructions were basically, and this is for every agency other than public health here in Madison, was to submit a proposal or an option that would include a 5% budget cut for the 2021 budget.
And are you still working on that, or have you submitted that now?
So we've submitted that, and it's been provided to the mayor and the alders, and it's been released at this point. So it's out and about for people to see.
And kind of give us the Reader's Digest version of what's in that 5%. How is that perhaps going to impact people at the street level and living in different neighborhoods?
Well, I think as a prelude, I will point out that the 5% is not a done deal, certainly. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there's plenty of previous years where we've been instructed to provide a budget proposal with some sort of a cut. So it's not unusual that agencies are asked to do that. And historically, even in those years where we've provided options for a cut, we've not had to realize that cut, and oftentimes have actually had staffing increases. Now, this year certainly is a little bit different, but it's certainly not a foregone conclusion by any stretch of the imagination that those cuts will be imposed. But a 5% cut on our budget is about $4.2 million. And our budget is about 90% people, salaries and benefits. And so there's no way to cut 5% without cutting positions, without cutting people, without cutting jobs. And so that's why it's certainly difficult to make that kind of proposal and come up with that sort of plan. And it was not an easy process for us to go through. And clearly the proposal that we put forth is nothing desirable. It's nothing that we think is a good idea, nothing that I think would serve the community well. But if the 5% cut went through, we would be looking at a loss of 26 commissioned positions, 9 full-time civilian positions, and 57 hourly positions. So it would be a really significant impact on our staffing levels and on the service we're able to provide to the community.
And so are we taking then some of these units that are specialty units, if you will, like our mental health unit and some of those that are out there doing some really positive things in the community, will those be the first to be kind of pulled back, or is that yet to be determined?
Well, the final cuts, if there are to be any, wouldn't be determined until actually after the budget is done, but what the memo outlined is what I expect those cuts would be, and it's really pretty significant. It would cut a number of special units, as you point out, but it would also cut our patrol services. And with a cut of that size, there's just no way to do it without really cutting a wide swath and having an impact. So we would lose our entire community outreach section, which is responsible not only for public engagement and community engagement and trust building, They take the lead on our efforts to reduce racial disparities in the criminal justice system. It includes our mental health unit, which does a lot of fantastic work to improve outcomes with people we are engaged with in the community that have mental health problems. We would have to cut our traffic enforcement safety team, cut our neighborhood officers, and again, cut patrol to the degree that we would have to reduce services. So we would not be able to maintain our current level of service. There'd be fewer officers on the street, and there'd be certain categories of incidents or calls that we just will no longer be able to go to.
And I think what's made the Madison Police Department shine, at least nationally, as others look to us for guidance as to best practices many times. It seems like you're kind of cutting into the core of community policing, problem-solving policing, many of those things that, frankly, are attractive to people who are looking to be a part of this police department. And, you know, you might get to a point, I would imagine, where you're no longer doing those proactive helpful things, and you're going to be a reactive department. I guess I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but certainly I think that the community needs to know what the bottom line is if cuts like these go through.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, you know, we have been saying for years that we don't think our staffing is sufficient for what the community expects for us. The city is growing, the population is growing, the city is growing geographically, and our workload is growing, so we have a lot of data to show that the demands on us continue to increase. And if you look at 2020, obviously with COVID-19, with this ongoing protest activity and the huge surge in gun violence that we've seen, that workload and those demands on our services are just, you know, exploding. And to be able to keep up with that requires more staffing, not less. The other thing that I think is really important to recognize here is, obviously, in this year, in the conversation we're all having nationally about policing, there's all sorts of demands and push and interest in continuing improvement in policing, police reform. In Madison here, we've had the ad hoc committee and their recommendations. And if you look at all those efforts, and many of which we are absolutely in complete harmony with, those efforts to improve policing, they all require funding, staffing, work time, and resources. And when you cut staffing, cut the budget, you are actually working contrary to the efforts of police reform or police improvement, because you remove a department's capacity to do that hard work to get better in what they do.
And I know, I think you were, I came into your office, and I know the head of our burglary crimes unit was in there, and in talking with her and some of those detectives, I'm just talking about one unit, they don't have enough people now to keep up with the number of burglaries that are taking place. And again, those are also the detectives, a lot of them who've been working and identifying those who are looting on State Street. And there are also people who have been called upon to help with protest policing. So, and speaking with some of the people who are trying to do the work at the ground level, they're already swamped.
Absolutely, and that's not new to this year, although I think this year it's really been exacerbated because of what's been taking place. But so I do have concerns that a 5% cut or any significant cut to our budget would really move us towards more of that just purely reactionary mode, which I think in the long term is a big mistake and not what our community wants. And really will get us to the point where we're going to have to make very hard choices about services that we're just no longer able to provide.
And then I also wonder, if you become a police department that's mostly reactionary, are you going to continue to get those people who want to come in and be problem solvers and be guardians and do good things for the community if some of that work that they find intriguing and gives them purpose in life is no longer there?
It's an excellent point, and one of the things that I have done as acting chief is, you know, interview applicants for our academy. And when I did interviews early this year for the class that we have now going through pre-service, that's one of the questions I ask is sort of what they're interested mm-hmm. in long term. And there's a real broad swath of interests, and people come here with, you know, more than just sort of a traditional I want to be a cop perspective. Sometimes folks are really interested in mental health, or interested in some other initiative or effort, or really the capacity to have different career options and really look at policing through a little broader perspective than just traditional law enforcement. And I think that is a lot about who we are as a police department, and I would agree that it would be a shame to lose that.
And so what's the, no way to look in the crystal ball at this point, I guess. It's too early, and I guess you're going to try to do everything you can to get the attention of Alders and let them know what's at stake.
So the mayor, the process starts with the mayor, and the mayor will release an operating budget, her executive operating budget, in early October. And then between October and mid-November, Alders have an opportunity to introduce amendments, and then ultimately the budget's voted on in November. So it'll be an interesting few months as we work through the process.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Chief. It is going to be a challenging budget cycle ahead, and we'll just see how it all turns out, and hopefully for the best for the safety of the community and the well-being of the officers in this department. I'm Joel Despain, and we thank you for listening to the Madison Police Department podcast.